So just before we start, this is, you know, I'm going to start on a minor gripe, which is probably, you know, start as you mean to go on. But just as we've started the record, the church bells from around the corner have just started going on making their racket.
Damn religion bringing us down.
I do not understand church bells. Who enjoys the sound of church bells? Do you enjoy it?
I tell you what, I mean, I prefer them. When I stayed in Morocco, they have the call to prayer. And that is, like, you realise that church bells are lovely when you hear that.
Oh, I don't know. It's just a total tuneless racket. There's no, like, melody to it. It's just the same three notes in order over and over again.
It's abstract, Ben.
It's not musical at all.
Wait, I thought there was a... They played particular... Like, I thought it was planned.
Well, I don't know. It just sounds like an absolute... You know, it sounds like someone's chucking them down the stairs for all I know.
And I bet, right? I bet that they get really into it. So they, like, crack their knuckles before, like, here we go.
Yeah.
Ready for some bells.
What I also don't understand is they get together on Tuesday nights to practice. So practice what?
Have you seen them, though? Like, they have to jump up and down. They really throw themselves into it.
Good. I hope they put their knees out. It's just the tuneless nature of it which really does me in. It's the same notes over and over again. If I were to do that, if I were to put a pair of speakers out the front of my house and just do, like, you know, a MIDI keyboard in and just do the same three notes over and over again at the decibels that they're putting out, I'd have someone from the council coming around knocking on my door telling me to knock it off.
Yeah, but it's not for worship, is it?
Oh, well, I'll make my own religion. Is that allowed then?
Yeah. Be a Pastafarian and just shout at the top of your lungs in your back garden and say, it's all right. It's my prayer.
But I just can't understand it, and I can't understand how they get together to practice, because it's just noise to me. But anyway, someone clearly enjoys it.
Right then, what do you want to talk about this week, Ben?
Well, we have to do our top five cereal, so I hope you've prepared well for that.
I really got into this. I've got really strong feelings, and I feel like if you don't have similar cereals to me, I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, should we do it at the top then? Top five cereals, let's do this.
All right, so do you want to do your top five first, or do what? Both start with number five and move our way up?
Well, what I think is going to happen is, do you think there's going to be any crossover in our lists before we start?
For sure, yeah. But I just know you're going to have northern tendencies, you're going to have these strange northern cereals.
Strange? How can I... like what?
Just a bowl of raw wheat.
Yeah.
Just straight from the field.
We don't have, like, northern-themed cereals. They don't look like little, like, bits of coal or something like that, you know?
You got your tunos.
Oh, God, okay. Okay, so I think we'll both start at number five, and we'll do one each until we get to the top. But then if there's all any right. crossover, I think you've just got to declare it, okay?
Right, I'm going to put mine in first, because I think this is going to upset you, because I think this is your number one.
Okay.
Right? Weetabix.
Oh my God, how did you know that was my number one?
Is it?
Yeah, that's my number one.
You are such a Weetabix man, I knew it.
How did you know that though?
You just have an air of Weetabix about you.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
And I reckon the point you're going to make is that there's a variety of ways you can prepare it. That is why you like it.
Do we even need to do a podcast? You could just do the whole podcast by yourself, I think.
And I think you'll have a couple which will be really similar to Weetabix, like those weird, like, shredded wheat rolls.
Oh, no. I was thinking about them because I do like them. They're not top five material, I'm afraid.
Right, okay. They're like the less successful brother of Weetabix.
So your number five is Weetabix. Why is your number five Weetabix? Now I'll tell you why you're wrong and why it should be your number one.
Well, see, I knew you would misinterpret this, right? That means it's a really good cereal. There was lots of cereals that I like which didn't make the cut. Golden Nuggets, for example, really sad to not have them on there.
But so what do you do with Weetabix?
Two Weetabix in a bowl, milk up to about halfway up to the side of the Weetabix.
So you're not going over the top of the Weetabix. Let's just be clear about that, yeah?
No, because I like to have a soggy bottom. And a crunchy top.
Oh, you want a crunchy top? So when you're pouring your milk, are you pouring them over the top of the Weetabix? Are you going around the sides of the Weetabix?
No. We're not submerged. They're like, it's like a half and half. Yeah, just down the side.
Okay. And then what are you putting on top?
Just a couple of teaspoons of sugar. Yeah.
Any particular type of sugar or?
I mean, just classic granulated
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. The old lady choice of sugar, I feel.
What do you what did you have, like, preserving sugar?
Well, this is what I'm going to get onto, right? So there's a trick with Weetabix. So if you put, like, caster sugar on, caster sugar's really fine, yeah? So if you got caster sugar on top of your Weetabix, eventually that caster sugar is just going to dissolve into the milk, and you're going to forget that you ever put caster sugar on top of your Weetabix.
No, because then the flavor's just too... It goes all the way through. You want little bits of sugar.
But you basically end up with sweet milk, if I'm honest. You don't want that at the end.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So what I like is like a bit of blandness, and you're like, oh, that's a shame. There's no sugar in that bit. And then you're surprised by the sugar. And it's a bit like life, Ben.
Okay, so listen. You're talking to a Weetabix expert here. What you really want to do is you want to use Demerara sugar. Big crystals, my friend. They don't dissolve as easily.
Why? That clumps up in the cupboard, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. You've got to give it a bit of a smushing before you get it out of the bag. But so it sits on top and it doesn't dissolve into the milk quite as readily. So when you come to the proper sugary bit at the top, it's still there. It's still kicking about. It hasn't dissolved. It hasn't given up the ghost. It's ready.
I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go.
Do it. And I always have three Weetabix. Let's be honest now. A nice flat bottom bowl with shallow sides.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be flat bottom because you don't want, like, one resting on top of the other, poking out the water. It's like me having a bath.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got an air gap or a milk gap underneath your Weetabix, you're doing life wrong.
That's the name of the podcast, The Milk Gap.
Oh, no. Right. Also, just on a note on when it comes to cereal. So I do all my shopping basically in Aldi now. And what I love about Aldi is how shameless it is. With its rip-off of brand names.
Yes.
So yeah. I never actually have Weetabix. I have Weetbisks.
It's like you've never heard them before and you've heard someone tell you about them over the phone.
Yeah.
What's that? Weetbisks? No, Weetabix. Have you got any other... I think I saw some party rings and they were like birthday rings or something.
Jubilant discs.
There's just... like Brian Butterfield.
Exactly like Brian Butterfield. I often point them out to Chloe when we're going around. That's a proper Brian Butterfield diet plan meal.
he's just been to Aldi.
Yeah. Weetabix, I think Weetabix is my number one, and it is quite versatile. I mean, I never change it up really. I used to have warmed Weetabix when I was at my grandma's. She used to do that. Ooh. That was a nice supper for me.
I'll excuse that for a grandma, but not for...
Well, you don't do warmed Weetabix?
You've
got to, man. On a winter's night, get a bit of milk on the hob, straight over those Weetabix, bit of sugar on top, beautiful.
But, right, when Weetabix just... Actually, I'll tell you what, Ben, when I was younger, I used to, like, put the Weetabix in, wait for them to go soggy, mash it all up, like, a wheat porridge, a cold wheat porridge.
You heathen. That's the worst. No, I can't have that.
That's like the equivalent of when someone says, oh, cream egg, how do you eat yours? And so just eat the whole thing in one. Like, is that that's like
No, Weetabix, they've got to have a bit of purchase about them. If they've given up, you might as well just give up on it as well and just put it in the bin.
Yeah.
Just one more thing on Weetabix. I know you're keen to get on, right? you've got to almost be surgical when you're eating your Weetabix. You can't just like go for it like an absolute, Neanderthal. You've got to cut into it from the top, and then scoop from the bottom, because you don't want that Weetabix to invert and all of your sugar to go in the milk. You've got to keep it on top. It's all about maintaining the sugar Weetabix layer.
Yeah, it's funny because you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Why are you conceding that with such defeat?
You don't want to Titanic your Weetbisks.
You don't. Okay, so that's your number five. Fair enough. I'll start with my number five.
10 minutes in.
Yeah, ten minutes about bloody cereal. We should just do this every week.
Not cereal, Ben, just Weetabix.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do one a week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not even going to start with my number five. This is how seriously I've taken it. I'm going to start with an honourable mention. Didn't make the top five, but I do appreciate it now and then. So if you go to the co-op, they sell a cereal called Triple Chocolate Crisp, which is kind of like a muesli with like these curled chocolate flakes in that are just milk chocolate and white chocolate. It's good.
I have to ask, why didn't it make your five?
It's just, it's too calorific. You know, I feel like it's almost a dessert. You know what I mean?
I feel like there are a lot of cereals where, you know, people think just because they're putting it in a cereal box and calling it cereal, it's somehow okay for breakfast.
Yeah. And you'd eat, otherwise it would just be a straight up dessert. Just because you have it with milk doesn't mean it's a cereal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. So that didn't make the cut for me. But, you know, if any listeners are out there, go out to your local co-op and give it a go. Triple chocolate crisp. Recommended.
Sponsored by. I don't imagine their budget's big for marketing.
I kind of think it is, yeah. Shame, really. Okay, so my number five, and I think you'll have some, you'll take some umbrage at this. My number five is Bran Flakes.
Oh, are you 47?
I'm not, but spiritually, when it comes to cereal, I think I might be.
Is this just for fiber reasons?
It's not, although when I eat them, I do think I'm doing a good thing here. You know, I'm thinking about myself in the future by eating them.
Yeah, it's a very self-congratulatory breakfast cereal.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to start singing the praises of Bran Flakes. All Bran Flakes is to me is a workhorse. Day in, day out, steady calories, tastes okay, does the job.
Well, but it doesn't, though. I mean, you're just a liar if you say it tastes okay.
It does taste. I like the taste. I don't do those Bran stick things. I'm a Bran Flake man.
But there's, no, the same people who have Bran Flakes, the people who have black coffee.
Yeah.
And I have black coffee, but...
But I don't drink coffee, but I can see where you're coming from. It is that, like, you know, the Venn diagram has a strong overlap there, but...
It's like you've given up on enjoying yourself.
Yeah, and it's everything you put in your body is just purely functional. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. I'll concede that. You can have that one.
But I can see why it's there. Yeah. It fulfills a purpose for a 47-year-old woman. Yeah.
Okay, so you can do your number four now.
Strong contender, just standard Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes. So you're not saying Frosties there. You're saying Frosted Flakes.
Wait. I mean Frosties.
You mean Frosties, okay.
The Aldi bug has pervaded my life.
it really does. It sets in and you start calling things by their off brand name rather than their actual brand name.
Terry the cat instead of Tony the tiger. Any comments on those? I just like how brash it is. It's like, look, we know we took Kellogg's. What are they called?
Frosties.
No, the ones without the sugar.
Oh, cornflakes.
Cornflakes. They took those, we put a load of sugar on it, and we're going to sell it to your children.
It's quite low effort, isn't it, really, from them?
But that's what I like. They're not pretending. They're not like, hey, contains vitamin C and all this amazing stuff. It's like, look, we know it's cornflakes covered in sugar. Just buy them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean...
And, right, I know I didn't like the sweet milk thing before, but once you finish the Frosted Flakes, drink the milk, sweet milk.
Yeah, but I'm not a big fan of that whole sweet milk thing.
You're not a bowl sipper.
I am, but that's why I like to maintain the sugar with the cereal rather than have it be dissolved in the milk for later.
So you're like a savoury milk man.
I'm a more of a just a straight up milk experience kind of guy.
You don't want it to be interrupted by anything else.
No. But that's the thing is, well, I think this is a rare example where sometimes I think you get a bit more if you do pay for the branded version. So with Frosties, I think they retain their sugar layer better than off-brand.
And crunchiness. Because, you know, with Frosties, right, you've got like a time limit of sogginess.
Yeah.
You almost feel like pressured. You have to eat them, I'd say, like sub 4-5 minutes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're done.
I mean, that is a big unspoken thing when it comes to cereal, the time factor. You know, people just don't think about it either. They just go ahead, they buy what they think is going to taste good, but they don't think about the time factor. And a lot of people, they'll sit down with a big bowl, and what they should really do is sit down with a small bowl, eat that while it's nice and crunchy.
Oh, yeah, a high bowl.
Yeah, and then restock. And you want to keep restocking. That's what I think
you kind of like push this. You get the milk. You bring the milk up and catch some dry flakes.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're doing this.
We're only on number four and we're 20 minutes in.
But I'm really loving it.
Okay, so my number four is Shreddies.
Ah, yes. Yeah, really good contender there. I'm actually quite jealous that's not in my list now.
Oh, you haven't even got it on your list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was looking at lists of cereals online.
So I've actually got Shreddies and then in brackets, Coco.
Oh, no, yeah. You see, you don't like the classic.
I do like the classic, and that's what's on my list. But every now and then when I want to treat myself, yeah, we'll put a bit of chocolate on there. Job's nice. Good.
And yeah, a bit of sugar on the shreddies as well?
No, I'm just, you know, straight up.
Yeah. And shreddies, I think shreddies is an even better example of the soggy factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the off-brand name for shreddies is? What is it?
Shreddos?
No.
Give it to me.
Malted Wheaties.
Malted Wheaties. Are they malted?
I guess they must be. Otherwise, it would be, you know, false advertising.
Yeah. Are they the same shape? I would have just gone for triangles.
No, they're not triangular.
Yeah, but that's the thing I would have changed.
Oh, changed the shape of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some complicated process in how they make them square.
I don't think you can...
So.
You probably can't trademark a shape, can you?
No, I shouldn't think so. So yeah, that's my number four. Go on, number three for you.
Right, you're going to laugh at me for this one, because you'd be like, oh, you're a bloody southerner.
Yeah.
Right? Jordan's Country
Crisp. Oh, for goodness sake.
You have to take out a mortgage to buy a pack. But
you certainly
when you do. Freeze-dried fruit.
Yeah, but
and
the box is tiny.
Crunchy oat clusters. Yeah, but that's why, you know, it's like a goo pudding. You're like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. £4 for the small little box. And then I'll usually have it. It'll last me three bowls. Yeah.
Especially a man of your stature.
Yeah, I hope you mean that in terms of social standing.
No, I mean in terms of length.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get on board with all that. It seems every time I go to the supermarket, there's another bag of... Yeah, they often sell them in bags as well. A bag of, like, fancy granola.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's great. You got so much variety. Each mouthful's different, Ben.
Is that what you're paying for? Is that the experience you're paying for when it comes to granola?
I'm paying for freeze-dried fruit, oat clusters, and, you know, the privilege of being able to buy it.
So you're basically saying, if you're one of those people with those inspirational quotes on your wall saying things like, variety is the spice of life, that Jordan's is the cereal for you.
Yeah.
Also, there's a little bit of controversy there. I don't know if it's a cereal or a granola.
Well, granola is for sure a cereal.
Okay, so you're saying that it's an umbrella term.
I think if you put it in a bowl and you have it with milk, it's cereal.
Okay, I'll let you have that then. That would never feature on my list, but, you know, that's why we're talking. We're trying to understand these things.
And actually, Ben, it contains mainly oats, which are a cereal
okay.
grain.
Okay. Okay, so that was your number three.
Let's hear number three.
Number three for me. This is the child within me has picked this one. Coco Pops.
Yes. Another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like often you can go off brand with that one. You normally get a good experience either way.
And did you ever get the games? With Coco Pops.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that so much now, do they? The little bag toy and the cereal.
I used to get the ones with CDs in.
Yeah.
One of my favourite ever games was a Disney Genie game that I got in some Frosties.
Nice. Well, I think famously, was it Roller Coaster Tycoon or Roller Coaster Tycoon 2? That came on a disc in a cereal box.
Yeah, amazing. I don't know if I have too much to say about Coco Pops.
Yeah, I mean, you know... They're just accepted in the cereal world as being a strong contender, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit like when you see on the world's rich list, you see Bill Gates, you're like, well, yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
That sounds about right.
The only thing I'll say, this is all I'll add about Coco Pops, is that definitely don't want to get them soggy. You don't want that. No one needs soggy Coco Pops.
No, because I think, like, a soggy flake is all right, but a soggy pop...
It just becomes mulch. And also, they do have a high surface area to volume ratio... So they are going to go soggy pretty quickly, but I don't think that's much of an issue for most people because as they're a rice form factor, you can fit a lot in at once.
It's a bit too much air for me.
Yeah, but you've also got the chocolatey milk afterwards. I don't like sweet milk, but I do like chocolatey milk. So
Yeah, there's more depth to it.
You know, it swings and roundabouts when it comes to Coco Pops. Okay, number three for you.
Or two, I think.
Or two, go on, yep.
Tesco Tropical Fruits Granola.
What? But you're going to have to educate me here, because I do not know what you're talking about.
Pineapple, apricot, anything tropical you can think of. Coconut flakes, almonds, loads of oats. Amazing.
So there are oats in it. I was about to pull you up there and say, hang on, not a cereal.
Fruit salad.
Yeah. And you should be putting cream on that, not milk.
Just, I mean, yeah, freeze-dried fruit, Ben. It's the best thing.
So yeah, you seem to be big into that. You know, each to their own.
And it's basically like, I mean, it's really, really sugary. And there's lots of nuts in it, and they're quite fatty and they're bad for you. But it's fine. Five a day.
Yeah, fair enough. You're thinking about your health, which we'll also talk about in a minute as well.
No. Not the...
We will. Okay, my number two. Now, I'm going to give you the brand name version and the off-brand name version, and they're comically close.
Excited.
Crave is the brand name version.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if I know much about that one.
Craze is the off-brand version.
That's just when you not mucking about.
That is a one-letter difference right there.
Is this the one with chocolate in?
Yeah, so they're like, I don't know what the cereal is around the outside, but it's definitely like mulched up and dried out, and then they put like hazelnut or chocolate inside.
I like that. You know, I always think with stuff like Nutella, the fact that it's got a little bit of hazelnut in, you're like, this isn't, I mean, it could be worse. It could just be all chocolate.
Yeah. But yeah, you're definitely kidding yourself if you say that. So yeah. Crave, I like, but I feel so guilty eating it that that's why it didn't make number one. I could eat a whole box of Crave in one sitting, but I'm not going to.
That's what makes it bad, is that you can't have it guilt-free.
Yeah, I feel bad afterwards, which you know, you don't really want at the start of your day, do you? So...
Nah.
Okay, so you're number one.
Okay. So we've done your number one, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Wait, Just bear with me 2 seconds.
I can see what you're going to do here. It's not funny.
No.
I'm waiting.
All right.
God, I hope that was royalty-free.
Porridge.
Oh, get out of here. Porridge is its own thing.
Porridge is a cereal. I looked up the definition of cereal. Porridge is a cereal.
See, go on then. Tell me why you like porridge, and I'll tell you why it's overrated.
Well, strap yourself in, Ben.
I'm strapped in.
It just the versatility. You can literally have any. You name something, I'll say you can have it in porridge, or how you can have it in porridge.
Beans.
All right. Well, that's one thing. Just name another thing.
I know it's versatile and you can do a lot with it.
Chia seeds, spirulina, kale, maybe not kale, fruit.
Are you still speaking English at this point?
Everything. It's amazing.
So what do you do? How do you make your porridge? Because everyone's got their own little way of doing it as well.
All right, my new recipe. You got to so like jumbo oats, steel cut, Ben, because that increases the fibre. And then you want about 50 grams of oats, soak them for 10 minutes in cold water, 120 mils. And then after that, add 80 mils of milk. So, you know, we're not being
You do a split.
Killers. Yeah, that's why it's recent. I used to be an all-water man, but I thought in my old age, I'll have a bit more milk.
You've got to live a little, haven't you?
Yeah, and then a little pinch of salt. A little pinch of salt in there.
Hmm.
Yeah. Boil that stuff up for 6 minutes. And then a little bit of honey and some frozen fruit.
Okay. I do like porridge. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Don't think. Don't accuse me of slander here.
Right.
It's just a very high effort breakfast material.
But the rewards are phenomenal.
I do think the energy you get from it is probably worth it. But if you've ever left one of those pans out without putting some water in there.
But Ben. The best things in life require effort, you know. I mean, if you were, you know, when you're single and a girl, you know, when there's no chase, it's
not
fun. Oh,
God, where's this going?
When there's no chase, it's not fun. But if you have to work to get to know a person, you know, then it's better. And it's the same with porridge. A porridge is a girl you have to chase.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, because I do like a porridge. It's just... I tell you what, though. You want to get cheap porridge. You don't want to get expensive porridge.
I don't know. Depends.
No, I'm telling you for free.
Because, I mean, there's bad porridge and good porridge, but cheap porridge isn't necessarily bad.
Yeah, because the cheap stuff tends to be smaller... What would you call it? Smaller oats.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then you get...
Oh, you mean like chopped up?
Yeah,
like,
it's smaller
oatmeal.
Oats, so you get a smoother porridge. But if you get the expensive stuff, it tends to be... I think they call it rolled oats. I think that's the marketing term for it. And they're bigger oats. And the texture, oh, disgusting. I can't even...
Ah, see, this is why the 10-minute soak's important. And also steel cut instead of rolled.
Steel cut?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Cut with steel.
A steel cup?
Steel cut.
Steel cut.
You have to, yeah.
Oh, God, we've gone off the rails. We've talked now for half an hour about bloody...
Oh, my God.
About cereals. Okay, so...
I've got so much great stuff to tell you this week as well.
Let's just run through our list just to finish this godforsaken segment off. You can go first.
All right, number 5, Weetabix. Number 4, Frosties/Frosted Flakes. Number 3, Jordan's Middle Class Country Crisp. Number 2, Tesco Tropical Fruits Granola. Number 1, Porridge.
Okay, for mine, honourable mention, Triple Chocolate Crisp from the Co-op. Go check them out. We're sponsored by them this week. Number 5, the Workhorse Bran Flakes. They're for you every day of the week. Number 4, Shreddies. Or, if you're feeling a bit, you know, I'm treating myself today, Cocoa Shreddies. Number 3, the childish staple, Cocoa Pops. No more needs to be said. Number 2, Crave. Or if you're from Aldi, Craze. And number 1, the versatile powerhouse, Weetabix or Weet-Bix, if you go to Aldi.
I mean, it's nice to finish on that one because we agree on that.
We do. There's a level of neutral ground there, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, we do. Are we going to do this next week as well? Hopefully it won't take us half a bloody hour, but...
I don't think we realised how passionate we both were about cereals.
These benign things that mean absolutely nothing.
And to make it a bit more highbrow, do you know cereals actually weren't popular until the Second World War? Because there was, you know, rations and food shortages of the traditional English breakfast of bacon and eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they encouraged using cereals in different ways. And a Mr. Kellogg was like, boom, cornflakes.
There you go, listeners. Don't say you don't learn anything from us.
Yeah.
So what's our next top 5 then?
I think the more mundane it is, the funnier it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So?
Does it have to be edible?
No. Perhaps we'll think about it and come back to it at the end.
All right. Can we go next to talk about... I have some names for you for the podcast.
Okay. So for everyone who's listening, just so that they're aware, if you've listened to up to... I don't know what episode this even is. I think we're on episode 6 or 7 now.
Yeah.
We still don't have a name for this damn thing.
But they might have just clicked on this and downloaded it. And what are the names I'm about to say?
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so go on and name ideas.
Right, so you've heard this first one. Trust me, I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah. right. Young, dumb, and full of glum.
Oh, oh, but I'm not that young anymore. Go on.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just trying to cling on to it. Ben and the Art of Suicidal Maintenance.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah. The Grand Boar.
The Grand Boar.
And I was on a roll here, so I thought Top Ear.
Top Ear. Oh, God.
Don't Give Up Your Day Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping you might like that one.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right. And then Overqualified Barista.
Oh, no, just... not having that. I don't drink coffee. That... Rubbish.
But that just sums up... millennialism for me.
But are you going to tell the listeners your other rubbish ideas as well?
Oh yeah, Farrow and Ball Paint Colours. I still think that's the best name for a
God, it's
podcast.
So stupid.
Drop Cloth.
So, Drop Cloth, that was one of them.
Yeah, and Dead Salmon.
Dead Salmon, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we are... The other one that your brother came up with was Squish and Tickle.
Yeah, some great suggestions, Squish and Tickle. Like a double act. But I don't know who would be Squish.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
I mean, if we are going by that Farrow and Ball paint thing, that my favourite colour was Mole's Breath.
Yeah.
What on earth... what colour is that? Mole's Breath.
That's just when you spend too much time in the boardroom and not enough time painting.
Yeah, I guess. So my idea was, what's the dross?
So yeah, I mean, now I know what it means. I think it's cool, but I don't think enough people would know what it means.
See, I say it all the time. He was just talking a lot of dross. For anyone who doesn't know, dross means a lot of rubbish, basically.
But then again, I'm not known for knowing my words.
Mm.
So
I've tried it out with a few people, and I think half get it, half don't.
Is that because half your friends are northern, half are southern?
It could be. But we do need a name eventually. So, I don't know. What do you think?
What's the most important thing for a name? Do you think it has to summarise the podcast? Or do you think it just has to be memorable and short?
It has to be quite short, because when you start looking at Twitter things and all that, it has to be quite short.
Because some of my favourite podcasts mean nothing. You know, like No Such Thing as a Fish, The Infinite Monkey Cage, really weird, nonsensical titles.
Both of them actually have meaning, though, don't they?
They do, yeah. But, you know, you have to look into the backstory.
Hmm. I think we're going to have to table this one and...
Yeah.
So last time we spoke, I mentioned that I was tracking my mood on using a mood tracking app.
Yeah.
I've stopped that. That just didn't work out in the end.
Just... just going to be sad every day, I was going to say.
Yeah, pretty much. I just didn't feel like I was getting anything interesting out of it. I mean, the only thing I would notice is, like I said last time, is when I was feeling neutral, I'd try and do something to sort that. But other than that, it doesn't really... You can't change your mood by tracking it. Your mood's going to be whatever your mood is. It doesn't matter how cognizant you are of it. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, that's gone out the window. But in the last... Well, actually, I've been doing it for 12 days now, or maybe longer. I think 2 weeks now, actually. I've been tracking calories because my weight was slowly climbing up. I wasn't overweight, but yeah, slowly, you know, that's how it gets you. Just creeps up in the background until eventually you wake up one day and you're massive.
And coincidentally, I started on the same day, didn't I?
Yeah, but you've done it in the past, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
So,
But I find with anything where I have to track something...
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is that you track it and you're aware of it and you make changes, but it just makes me acutely aware of the terrible things I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like with Monzo, it's like, spend a lot of money on eating food out.
Yeah. So I'm doing it because I want to drop at most 10 kilos. And I think I'm about halfway there, roughly.
Really?
Yeah. So this is another cause of concern for me, though, is that the first 2 weeks I've lost about 4 kilos.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been pretty quick, and I think it's going to start slowing down now. I've heard that's a thing, that, the first few weeks are really easy, the first few weeks are really quick when it comes to weight loss, but then it starts to slow down, and it starts to get a bit more difficult to motivate yourself. So yeah. I want to get down to a nice lower bound on the old BMI scale, although BMI, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, because you have rugby players that are labelled as morbidly obese.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't take into account your lean to fat ratio.
Your fat percent.
But I think, as you were saying, you know, if you're just like the average sedentary person, it's a good indication.
Yeah. I mean, if you go on the NHS's website and you put in, you know, on their BMI calculator, it has like three categories: sedentary, moderately active, and active. And active is obviously the top band for, you know, activity level. And that is only like 60 minutes of activity, you know, exercise per week. 60 minutes a week. That's nothing.
Wow. But isn't it your lifestyle? So like, I remember when I was working in a bar, I would do like 25,000 steps a day. So, you know, that would be like a very active lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. So I think BMI is kind of for the proper couch potatoes At least it seems that way.
But right, I did BMI and I was like, okay, it says I'm overweight. You know, I'm because I'm very tall.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone says I'm not overweight. So I was like, okay, I'll do more accurate measures. There's something called the waist to hip ratio.
Mm.
Did that. Overweight as well.
Yeah. That's when you know you've just got to do it.
Yeah. I thought it would be my saving grace. It would be like, don't worry, BMI is rubbish, but just backed it up.
So what are you at now?
I'm like 103.
You've gone up.
But so my max I've ever been is 104. And yeah, I think I've since I've been trying to lose weight, I got down to like 100. But then it's okay. Just, yeah.
You want to get sub 100?
Sub 100. The goal is like 96. Because I think that's the top of the healthy band.
Okay. So both you and I have been using an app called MyFitnessPal, which is owned by Under Armour as of, I think it was last year, maybe the year before. I don't really rate the app that much. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's impressive that the amount of stuff that's on there.
Yeah, the database, the underlying database that they use is actually quite impressive. But that's all put in by users, though, isn't it? So they've kind of contracted that work out to their own user base. But the app itself is just so clunky and old-fashioned. It looks like something out of Android 4.0. I'm not a big fan of the app. But it serves its purpose. So what the app basically does is you scan your food, you put it into breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks section of your diary, your food diary, and it'll also connect up with things like Endomondo or Strava for exercise tracking.
And I think its intention is that, because you can set goals to lose weight and stuff, but I think most people aren't aware of actually how many calories they consume.
Mm,
so I had no idea, like little snack like peanut butter and toast.
Yeah.
Two slices, that can be like 500, 600 calories.
Yeah, definitely.
Right there.
So I think it's really useful, like you say, for opening your eyes to how many calories are in things. And obviously it's useful that it'll import exercise. So recently, if I get a craving for chocolate or something like that, I'll go on the turbo trainer in the garage for half an hour just to get 500 calories back so I can have 100 grams of chocolate.
So you earn your chocolate?
Yeah, I've even set up the... So I've got a cycling computer on my turbo, and I've even set it up so the display just says calories and time.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's good motivation. And, when you finish your day, if you click complete diary, it'll say, if every day were like today, you would weigh X amount of kilos in 5 weeks' time, which is also good motivation as well. And it's nice to see your weight, consistently going down. They have graphs for all that stuff as well. But like you say, I think the most usefulness you'll get from the app is just how many calories are in things when you don't even realize it. And you start to realize how devious food companies are when it comes to the labeling of their foods. So they'll have like a 200 gram bar of chocolate, for example, and it says on the front 400 calories, and you're like, oh great, fantastic, I'm going to go home now and absolutely devour that now. But then you read the fine print and it says per 4 squares of chocolate or something like that. You know what I mean?
Or per serving.
Yeah, serving, and their definition of a serving isn't in line with the rest of the world.
Right, but the chocolate's not too bad because it's like, you can split it off into bits.
Yeah.
But I had like this smoothie drink the other day, 500 mil.
Yeah.
And it was said, 400 mil, it contained 4 servings. And I thought, who has a quarter of a bottle of smoothie?
Just a little sip.
And sets it down and says, right, save that for tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're doing cooking at home, like, there's all these celebrity chefs, they all say, losing weight, it does start in the kitchen. I'll agree with that. But a lot of them say, it's all about cooking fresh foods at home. And, yeah, good. So start cooking at home and being active in the food that you consume. But the problem is they all, like, if you look at, like, I don't know, someone like Jamie Oliver, who we've discussed on the podcast in the past, he absolutely lathers everything in oils. One tablespoon of olive oil, I think, is 120 calories. So, like, if you're consuming two tablespoons of that, 240 calories just in a small amount of oil.
And it's never what they say. They say, okay, we have a little splash of olive oil.
Yeah.
10 seconds later, still pouring.
Half a bottle gone. But I do think it's very motivating. What do you do when you actually reach your target weight? I know you can just switch to maintenance. So maintenance, for people who don't know, is just the amount of calories that you need to consume every day to just maintain the weight you're currently at.
Yeah.
That's another thing that the app will do, is that you can put in how much you want to lose per week. So I want to lose 0.75 kilos a week, and it'll tell you what calories you need to consume. So you don't need to work that out for yourself. But yeah, once you've reached your goal weight, what do you do then? You just do you continue tracking, or do you kind of leave it by the wayside?
I think I would track for a while.
Yeah.
Or maybe stop tracking. If my weight starts to go back up again, like, oh, okay, I'm not quite aware.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, to use it permanently would be a bad idea. I think, you know, you use it to like educate yourself and then stop.
Yeah, but it just slowly creeps back up again then, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, Ben, I mean, the big thing for this app for me, I didn't realise how many calories beer have.
Yeah, you didn't fill out your diary the other day, so I sent you a little persuasive message, and then you continued to fill it in.
The shame, so much shame.
So how many are in a pint?
Hang on, I've got it down here. I can tell you how many are in the 6 pints I had. 1,386 calories.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Can you justify that? Do you feel like it's calories well consumed?
Can I justify drinking 6 pints of beer?
Well, forget about the alcohol side of it, though. Just from a pure calorie perspective, do you think that's worthy calories?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Chloe and I now, we're both tracking our calorie consumption at the moment. And it's very helpful if your other half is doing it, because food doesn't become much of a point of contention then.
Yeah.
But we've both completely got into this mindset now where we look at snacks and we can look at the amount of calories in a snack, and we can be like, all right, that's 120 calories. And we can be like, that's completely not worth it, because I know this other snack has 140. So, and for an extra 20 calories, you're getting so much more for your calorie consumption there.
I see, but when I'm tracking my calories on here, I mean, in my head, having healthy food but more calories is probably better for me than bad food but less calories. So I might lose weight, but I'll be less healthy overall.
Yeah. So sorry, just to finish up on the beer thing. So the beer thing, I mean, I assume the first one, you're cognizant of the fact that it's quite high calorie, but then as the beers go, you kind of forget the calorie intake.
Well, I didn't realise. I mean, so yesterday, no, sorry, Saturday, I had 2,091 calories of alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah, and my target for the day was 1,800. That's not to mention the Big Mac and the fried chicken.
I saw that Grande Mac meal.
Very good, Ben.
Yeah.
Very good. Grand Big Mac.
Yeah. It's difficult. And also what's very difficult as well, if you're not eating at a big fast food chain or a big restaurant chain, the calorie content and the macro content of your food is very difficult to gauge, because most of the time you'll either scan the barcode on the food that you're consuming, or if you're making a meal, you'll put in like, right, well, I've got 200 grams of carrots, I've got 200 grams of tuna steak or whatever. But if you're obviously eating out in a restaurant, how the hell do you track that? You can search things like, I think we had a pub Sunday dinner the other day, and you can search Sunday dinner. And what we try and do is we try and find the one with the most calories. So we're kind of being conservative.
Yeah, because you can fool yourself. I mean, I don't know how some people calculate it, but I was looking up, was it fried chicken? Yeah, and it was like 100 calories.
Yeah.
For a chicken breast. Well, it was really low. And I thought, yeah, that's just, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah, we looked that up as well. I think we had a pizza in a restaurant for someone's birthday. And I looked it up and some people were like, medium restaurant pizza, 250 calories. It's like, in what world is that 250 calories?
Maybe it was like 12 centimetres.
Yeah, so people do kid themselves on there. So you do have to be quite careful. And you can also just quick add calories if you can't be bothered to look it up. So if you've just had a big meal and you just think, right, sack it off, whatever, I've had 1,200 calories there. You can just add 1,200 calories. Yeah, you can do that. So have you got any... So say if our budding listeners want to try this out, what have you got any hints and tips for them to try and cut their calorie consumption?
Rice cakes, Ben.
Oh,
rice
please.
Cakes.
I'd recommend the absolute opposite of that, but go on, rice cakes.
The best way to consume air. I mean, you want to fill your stomach, don't you? You just want to... Rice cakes are like, I don't know, 90% air.
Yeah.
Fill you up. Or actually, if you drink like a pint of water as well, that's good.
Yeah, yep.
Porridge.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That just keeps you full for a while.
It is quite calorie dense. But like you say, it does keep you feeling full for a long time. So
I tell you what, I'd say, I know people say you shouldn't have snacks when you're trying to diet, but and I know I've been really crap at this diet too. But I think being able to have snacks, but just making sure all of them are super healthy is better than having no snacks. Mm. So I have like rice cakes, apples, bananas. And then I have days like, So, I mean, if you think about it, I was 3,000 calories over on Saturday.
Mm.
And I think each day my deficit's about 500 calories.
Okay.
So, you know, I've lost like 8 days there.
Yeah. That's one thing that the app does fall down on is, so for example, say if you, Chloe and I do a lot of bike riding, and you do too, I know. But say if we know that we're going to go out tomorrow morning and we're going to do 100 kilometers on our bikes, the evening before we're going to want to, not carb load, but we're going to want to stock up on food so we've got enough energy for the day. But if we haven't done anything that day, we're going to be well over our calorie goal, despite the day after we're going to be probably to be well under. So it only does things on a day level.
That's all right though, isn't it? No, you can do week. You can look at week.
Yeah, but it's I think they need to change their app, because you feel really guilty if you go 500 calories over for the day, knowing that the day after you're going to be 600 calories under. So it does even out. But
yeah, so like you could have underneath it like, but for the week,
yeah,
you've done well.
It could be like that. It could be like, well, you're over for the day, but for the week, you're still on target. Don't worry. But if I were to give some tips, so you've gone the route of try to be healthy snacking, and you've gone the very responsible route. I'd probably go a bit less responsible than that. And what I'd say to people is, if you can, try and skip a meal.
You see, I've been silently judging your diary. I like having a little spy on it, on your diary.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll have like four little chocolate bars, but you're always on target. So it annoys me because I'm like, you little fat boy with the chocolate bars.
So yeah, that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. I'll often just skip breakfast or I'll skip lunch and I'll kind of just snack and graze around it. And I haven't changed what I eat whatsoever. I mean, last night we had a very healthy meal, a lot of vegetables, avocado, tuna steaks, poached eggs. So it was good and it was really filling as well. So I think vegetables are a good one. So like grated carrot.
Yeah.
Oh man, if you have 200 grams of grated carrot with a meal, you'll feel full for hours after it. But on the whole, what I've just been doing is just eating how I normally do. If I need to eat more, I'll get on the turbo and gain some calories back. Otherwise, I'll probably just try and skip a meal. But my chocolate consumption has gone down, granted, but I'm still eating chocolate and I'm still losing weight, which feels good.
See, I think yours is more consistent, because I'll have very, very healthy days and then one day when I have 3,000 calories. I mean, last weekend I had, you know, meats and cheeses and beers again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think the one way to put yourself off it, though, is to just... A lot of people proper crash diet, so they'll decide, right, this Monday the diet starts, and they go to Sainsbury's and they buy a 12-pack of Rye Vita and sandwich thins, and they only eat banana and apple for lunch, and that's not the way to do it, because you'll become so miserable. For me, food is such a important part of enjoying life that if you completely get rid of that joy, you're going to be totally miserable and there's no chance that you're going to be able to do it. So I think you do need to treat yourself. Just make sure you count those treats and that you can justify those treats. And if you can't, go out for a walk for an hour.
And also, don't let if you let it be a mistake, I think that you slip up entirely. But if you tell yourself, okay, I'm allowing myself to have this as a treat, and then you're fine.
And you do enjoy food a lot more, I find, when you are counting it. As counterintuitive as that sounds, I used to buy 200 grams of chocolate and just completely destroy it in one sitting. But last night, I had 100 grams after I got off the turbo, and I had 100 grams of chocolate over maybe an hour. It's just one chunk at a time, and I enjoyed it so much more.
Yeah, that's very mindful, Ben. Mindfulness.
Nice, bringing it back.
Yeah.
So yeah, I recommend to everyone who's you know, feeling ever slightly like they're getting larger, give it a go.
Any fat people?
It's not as hard as people make it out to be, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think when you can see your progress very visually, it's really motivating.
Yeah.
And well, when you can't see your progress visually, it's very demotivating.
Yep. I will say it's more difficult for women, though, because their calorie allowance is less than men. I'll often do absolutely nothing in the day. Chloe comes home after cycling to work and cycling home from work, and she'll have maybe 700 calories left, and I've done absolutely nothing all day, just sat on my behind, and I've got 900 calories left, and it's just like, oh, I'm so sorry.
It's the patriarchy, Ben.
Yeah, I always say to it, if I could give you calories, I would, but it's they're not transferable credits.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, I mean, being 6'5", I get these bonus calories.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Hattie has to say to herself, I mean, because whenever I cook, I always like serve out equal portions.
Yeah.
And Hattie says she has to remind herself she's not a 6'5" man.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So she blames me for her, you know, her diet.
Yeah, it's an easy out though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another tip as well is that I'm not a particularly big fan of ice cream, but Halo Top ice cream. Have you heard of it, Ed?
I have heard of it now. I've seen it, but I always go for the Häagen-Dazs.
So Häagen-Dazs is like 1,200 calories per tub, whereas Halo Top.
Oh, don't tell Ben. I was blissfully ignorant for so long. Weren't.
You knew that. This Halo Top ice cream, it uses some different type of sweetener instead of sugar, or I don't know how it works exactly, but it's like 300 to 500 calories a tub, a full tub, which is pretty good.
I don't trust it. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not a big ice cream fan, so I've never had it, but Chloe quite likes it.
It's like a pyramid scheme.
Perhaps.
I'll tell you one quick more thing, Ben. A very Mark from Peep Show thing I had this week. When I was in McDonald's at the weekend.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for my friend to get to the train station. So I was by myself. There's a group of like eight Liverpudlian kids, like school kids.
Yeah.
They're like 12 years old. And I could hear them whispering. They were just like, look at that. Who goes to McDonald's by himself? Who goes by himself? It's so lonely. And they're just like taking the mick out of me. And then he was like, oh, go sit next to him and annoy him.
Oh.
And so two of them go up to sit either side of me. And I'm just looking at my phone like, for f***ing sake. It's like, oh, nice jacket, mate. Where'd you get that jacket? And I'm just sitting there like,
you know, I don't, what?
How do you respond? How
you could
you
have
respond?
Made some friends there. You could have been a pillar of the community. They might have been, you know, why do you not think they were being sincere? They might have just been like, oh
it
look,
was
he
so
looks
antagonistic.
Lonely. We're going to go sit next to him and make sure he's not lonely.
Right, but you know when you look back on a situation, you think, oh, if only I had said that and that would work so well. I had an absolute zinger, Ben.
Go on, then. Tell the world your zinger
phone.
Now.
They kept saying things like this and like, yeah. And they said, what are you looking at on your phone, mate? And I was like, just seeing if it's legal to punch children.
Oh!
And then...
What a thing!
And then they left me alone. It was amazing.
Oh, but you didn't say that, did you?
I did.
No, you said you were thinking about saying that.
No, I'm saying, you know those situations when you look back and you think you wish you'd said that? And I did.
Oh,
I said
you did?
It, and it was amazing.
Wow. I'm surprised you didn't get your head kicked in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were like, they weren't rough. They were just, you know.
Just scallywags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think people are only like that until they get in a fight and they think, oh, God, that hurt.
You're like 6'5" as well. You could probably clobber any child.
Yeah, but I'm only intimidating from a distance, I think. And he's like, oh. There's no danger here.
Ed only intimidating from a distance barker.
But Ben, they say, be wary of the anger of a patient man.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I think I'm just a coward.
Yeah, probably. Oh dear.
Actually, that's a question. Have you been in a fight?
No, I've never been in a fight. Not really. I mean, all boys, when they're growing up, they play a fight with their mates. That's just a given, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was an acceptable greeting. Imagine this in the workplace. If your mate walked up and you just, you know, it was the first time you'd seen them that day, you'd just give them a dead arm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how boys express affection for one another, you know?
I guess it must be. But could you imagine that in the workplace? You know, your colleague comes back after holiday and you just give him a dead arm like, good to see you, mate.
Little nipple cripple.
Yeah. Chinese burn.
Oh, actually, we had a phase at my school called pocketing.
Oh, God.
Where we wore shirts and you grab the pocket and you just rip it off.
Oh, that is such a little boy thing to do, isn't it?
It's like, oh, no, he's been pocketed.
That's like physical damage of someone's property. That's great.
But my brother, he got pocketed. And it just ripped open a hole over his lip.
Oh, the thing is, though, with boys, that's funny. But if that happened to a little girl at school, you'd be absolutely mortified, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But with the boys, just walking around all day with your nipple hanging out because someone's ripped your teeth, it's just funny.
What happened? Oh, well, he was pocketed, wasn't he?
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, understandable.
But I think next time I see you, I'm going to pocket you.
No, I don't think so. I don't have any breast pockets, so I think I'll be all right.
Oh.
Or maybe I'll wear one especially for you. I'll have a t-shirt on underneath and it'll have a little like image on the on underneath the breast pocket of like your face or something like that.
Surprise.
Oh god.
Oh. You've been wedgied?
I think so, probably at some point. Yeah.
Nuggied?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, you know, I mean, all of these I found funny, but the one I hate is a wet willy.
Yeah,
have
that's
you been given a wet willy.
Yeah. And there's things that bordered on total sexual assault as well, but I'm not going to go into them. There's no point. I mean, I didn't do them, but some people did them to other people. Pretty grim when you think about it. I mean, you went to a what do you call them? A public school, is it?
It's about half and half. I mean, half state school, half.
I think half of
school,
these things are actually born in those schools, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what it is. I think it's just spending too much time with one gender.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that was another thing that people used to keg people.
Keg?
Yeah, and you know what that means? Yeah, that means just...
Oh, when you pull your pants down.
Yeah, pulling their trousers down. That's horrifying. Especially when you're in that awkward age as an adolescent. That is the worst thing you can do to someone.
But I knew a guy who handled it so well. He just stood there with his hands on his hips when someone did it. And then just stood there.
God, I'm so glad I'm not a child anymore. The whole thing. Like, I remember just... when I was at school, I wasn't a cool kid, but I certainly wasn't one of the kids that were picked on. I was, like, proper middling. You know what I mean? Like, I blended into the crowd. And there was... The bullies just didn't even... I didn't register on their radar. Whatever.
Mr. Cellophane.
But there was still that general level of anxiety the whole time you're at school. That something bad could happen in an instant. And I'm so glad that as an adult, you don't have to think that anymore.
True. I used to be that really annoying kid who used to try and break up fights because everyone loves to watch a fight. Well, I didn't because I broke them up. I mean, you don't have to be involved in a fight, but you can secretly enjoy watching it. And I used to be like, no, fellas, no.
Yeah. You've got the height for that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, because I was a nerd, but also tall. So it's like, well, he's that weird middle ground. Like, he could be, you know, nerd rage on a big boy.
Yeah. He could just unleash the fury.
Yeah,
I think you'd go for the eyes or something like that. It'd be like it'd be really nasty. Oh man! But you've also got the arm span to separate a fight, haven't you? You know what I mean?
Like that's true. Yeah, just hold them opposite ends of the school.
Yeah, like, it would be dead awkward. Like most people trying to like push people apart, they're still in proximity to like spit at each other or throw a punch. But if you're doing it, it's properly
you
neutralized.
You can't even hear each other speak, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Different time zone. Top five for next week, then. Have we got any ideas? And what I'll do is we'll probably deliberate for about 10 minutes, and I'll cut it down. So that
did we do crisps?
Do you want to do crisps?
We done a Tesco meal deal. My favorite Tesco meal deal.
We haven't done it though.
I think we did crisps.
We haven't done crisps. We've only done one top five.
I've talked about crisps with you.
Yeah, but I can't remember what you said. I'm happy to do crisps.
I swear we've done crisps.
Let's do crisps. We haven't done crisps on the podcast.
What if some poor soul listens to the podcast and it's like the top five of crisps twice?
I've edited them. We haven't done crisps.
All right. I must have thought about it a lot.
And if we have done crisps, I'll edit it now so it sounds like we're doing something else next week. Yeah. So crisps, top five crisps next week.
Awesome. I'm going to wipe the floor with you.
It's not a competition. How is it a competition?
Because my five crisps will be better.
Oh, okay. Right. Bye.
All right. Nice talking, man.
So, anything else on the agenda?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember if I talked to you about this. Did I talk to you about ugly pants?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that was out there.